Grandma enjoying a down-home meal with her family in 1946 at age 60. Left to right, Roberta, front center, Joyce, Madge, Jimmy, Grandma holding Shari, Evelyn, Glenn, Emma, Betty, and Rob. Evelyn's husband.
Grandma was 91 when this introduction was written by Betty Chatterton. This book is a collection of the recipes of Melinda Gregory. She's my mother, but she's grandma around the house to my children, so I mention her as grandma in the book. Grandma is 91 years old now. Her early life was spent in Kentucky. She was born in Crab Orchard, Kentucky, lived near Hall's Gap, Kentucky as a child, and moved to Somerset, Kentucky until age 40 when she moved with her family to Cincinnati, Ohio. These recipes and ways of preparing food are the same as they used in that region of Kentucky where she grew up. Most of her cooking is very simple, without too many uncommon spices, which we usually don't have on hand. It is not overly spiced, so as not cover up the true flavor of most food. Everyone who stepped into her house would just get inside the kitchen door and their mouths would begin to water. Just going there gave them an appetite. She was living alone after all of her children left home until age 86. When my husband passed away, she came to live with me, my son Tom, and daughter Tammy. Since she arrived, our eating habits have changed. All of our regular skillets have been put away, and we cook with the skillets she brought with her. She claims nothing cooks good except in iron. Some of her cobbler pies are baked in iron skillets, although occasionally she does use glass pans, and the roasts are cooked in an iron chicken fryer with a lid. We were in the habit of eating TV dinners about once a week. She said, "You go ahead and eat the TV dinners, I'm going to cook me some real food." By the time the TV dinners were on the table, Grandma had cooked something really appetizing with wholesome natural ingredients. She said, "You can have some of my food if you want." After eating her food, I began to wonder why we were eating TV dinners when, with a little more time and effort, we could have a really appetizing meal. She has been doing most of the cooking since she came here, because this is what she enjoys doing, and also because she likes her own way of preparing food. I can hear in the kitchen now, she's saying, "Where is the cupcake pan?" Tammy puts things away in a different place every time she washes the dishes. I'm used to putting things in the same place. I wondered how come Grandma could cook so good, and I never learned how until just recently. I did live at home for 20 years and she did the cooking. I think I know why. Grandma monopolized the kitchen. When I was very young, I can remember trying to bake a cake and messed up everything in the kitchen. Besides, I wasted a lot of supplies. We were very poor and couldn't afford to waste food with my learning. Anyway, she liked to cook and didn't want anyone in the kitchen. I cooked for years not being able to eat my own cooking. Oh, some people said there was nothing wrong with my food. They thought it was quite good, but they hadn't tasted Grandma's. Why, she could come to my house, warm over my leftovers, and they would taste better than when I served them. I think I know me trick now. She probably cooked all the soup out of the vegetables, and if they were canned, cooked them a little longer, added bacon drippings or other seasoning, maybe onions and more salt and pepper. Grandma is young and vigorous at 91.1. No, they say longevity is usually inherited, but diet could be a contributing factor since it is said we are what we eat. One day I thought maybe I could find out how Grandma cooks such good food. With her 91 years of eating good wholesome food and cooking for maybe around 80 years or longer, I thought she must have a wealth of information about cooking that should be passed on to future generations. The answer was to make this cookbook. If nothing else, it would serve the purpose of providing help for the person who has to cook for her, probably me, when she is unable to cook. When she was ill a few years ago, no one could prepare food that she could eat. On occasion, she does prepare food from a recipe book or the recipe off the box. She also uses some canned and packaged food when she's in a hurry. She bakes a packaged cake mix. What really grabs me is when she does use a written recipe. She can prepare the same recipe and come out with something exceptional than when I prepare it. I know how she does it now. In the process of preparing the recipe, she changes a few things. She says that's a little too much butter, or that should be a little more flour. Even cake mixes, they don't usually call for flavoring added, but she always adds flavoring, mostly vanilla. She says, "I can't stand that artificial flavoring they use. Why can't they use real flavoring instead of that artificial stuff?" She also adds ingredients. Just the other night she made a cake mix. We had some candied pineapple left over from Christmas fruit cake. She said, "This is going to waste, I'll put it in the cake mix." She did. The cake was heavy and it kept the cake from rising. I thought, "Oh, Grandma has made a flop." She put icing on it. I tasted it. I thought, "I must be mistaken. Any cake that looked so bad couldn't taste this good." I ate another piece. Sure enough, it was delicious. So even her recipes that don't turn out the way they are supposed to are usually better than average. This book hasn't been an easy task. I started out with just asking her what is the recipe for this or that. Well, she said, "I don't need a recipe for what I cook. It's just plain old food." I did have an old recipe book for making some special cakes and pastry, but I don't know what happened to it. It got lost in the process of moving here. The ingredients just come natural to me. The only way I could find out the way she was cooking something was to follow her around in the kitchen and estimate as close as I could the measurements for the ingredients. On some recipes like the fried apples, she did give me a full explanation with the attitude of, "Doesn't everyone know how to peel apples and put them in a skillet and fry in them? There's nothing to it." There may be nothing to it, but the first time I tried it, they didn't turn out. After observing Grandma, I came up with the following answer to her success. What makes a good cook? 1. Cook slowly. 2. Stay with your cooking. 3. Cook in iron skillets when possible. 4. Have wholesome fresh ingredients to begin with. Most of the recipes included in this book are from memory and are written the way she made them that particular day and for the number of people she was cooking for. Another day the recipe may have been a little bit different, but basically the same. These are not all of the food she eats, because she does use canned, frozen or packaged food. There are enough in each category to give something wholesome and some down-home taste added to improve and mix with other canned foods and intermingled with other recipes that can be found in the regular cookbook.